In my years of ministry, I've heard people say, especially young people would say something like this: I refuse to believe in a God that would send people to hell. I refuse to believe in a God that would send people to hell. And I would say, me too. I refuse to believe in a God that would send people to hell just because he wants to. Just because, you know, God doesn't like you and so he's going to reject you. He's going to condemn you into hell forever and ever. Yeah, I would not believe in a God like that either. But when people say that, it's obvious that they're not portraying, they're not talking about the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible is not sending anyone to hell. And you and I need to understand from the Bible what it is that the Bible teaches about this place called hell. Francis Chan wrote a book, and it's entitled Erasing Hell. You know how many people in our society, they don't want to talk about it because, you know, it's like a scary place, you know, and we consider ourselves good people, so we're not going to worry about hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but they don't want to talk about the opposite, the other place. You know, where there's love, there's hate. When there's evil, there's good. There's heaven, there is hell. Now, if you do any research, according to LifeWay Research, in an article published in 2014, you know, conducting, you know, to see just Americans, talking about that 61% of Americans believe that hell is a real place. Now, 61%. And they also believe, but you have to be real bad, really, really bad to go there. Now, 67% of Americans believe that heaven is also a real place. Now, I think that's kind of low. 67%. But you also have to take into consideration there are so many other religious groups. They don't even have heaven. They don't believe in that, you know. And so, some of the people that they interview, this is what they got. 67% of Americans believe heaven is a real place. Now, 45% believe that there are many ways to heaven. You see the problem right there. So that's very much an Oprah theology. You know, it's like, yeah, there's so many ways to the destination, so it doesn't matter. It's almost like we want heaven to be like a GPS, that you can go different routes. You know, this is how a lot of people believe in our society. But my question is, what does the Bible say? Because I don't care what people are saying out there. I want to go with what Scripture teaches. You know, if I want to be an ambassador, if I want to be true to the Word of God and to Jesus, because if I'm not, he's going to come and hold me accountable. He's going to say to me, what have you been teaching those people? Because now their beliefs are based on what you taught them. And he's going to get to me on that. So I want to be at least faithful to proclaiming the whole truth. Not watering it down, make it more palatable so that it doesn't offend people. I mean, every time I read this, it offends me. You know, it causes me to change certain behaviors that I have. So if you are with us in this church, you know, as long as I live, as long as I'm a preacher of the gospel, I want to preach the whole truth of God's word. I want to stick to this. So what does the Bible teach about hell? See, the Bible has a lot to say about this place called hell, and Jesus taught a lot about hell. He spoke extensively about the kingdom of heaven, and I just went through a series about when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is here. A lot Jesus taught, and he used parables. A parable is an illustration. He used a lot of illustration to guide people into a better understanding of what heaven is like, but he also taught about hell. Jesus, by the way, believed in hell as a real place, and I want to believe like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to go with Jesus on this one too. We must refuse the temptation to believe in these places according to our liking or preferences or according to what we perceive. You know, it's interesting, even heaven in our society today, I see people on Facebook, and you do that, please don't be offended. Like sometimes they say, happy birthday in heaven to so-and-so. Like again, we don't have a concept of heaven. You don't celebrate birthdays in heaven. It's eternity. Now, you're going to say happy birthday here, you know, but they're in heaven, they're not celebrating birthdays over there. And you know, I heard people like, I hope that they have like football in heaven. It's almost like we want to create heaven into our liking because we think if they have what we like, you know, that's why people talk about, oh, hopefully my pet is in heaven, as if I'm going to need a pet to care for in heaven. Now, don't get me wrong, there will be animals when Jesus Christ comes back, but we have this perception that we hope, because we want to conform heaven, we want to create heaven and hell into our image, because that will make me feel good. And sometimes all people care about in our society is like, as long as it makes me feel good. But you and I, again, like, it doesn't matter what you and I think. We have to go back to what Jesus, God, already said in His Word. These are places, so we have to resist the temptation to adapt or to transform heaven and hell into our preferences. Like, oh, I refuse to believe you. They're not going to have that. You know, and it's happening in our society. I mean, there are people right now working to create a Bible that eliminates the word sin and hell out of the picture. Someone says, oh, we don't want to talk about that because people might get offended. Jesus offended a lot of people. Jesus was intolerant, by the way. You know, we talk about all the don't be intolerant. I mean, that's one of the reasons Jesus ended up on the cross. Because, you know, the Pharisees didn't like him. So we got to go back to Scripture. These are real places. And the Bible has a lot to say about them. Like I said, there are people in our society, religious groups, they would love to erase the teachings of hell from the Bible. Because those teachings will go against their preferences. My friends, as followers of Jesus, we must believe what God teaches in His Word. All Scripture is God-breathing. It's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. We have to believe God because He has revealed Himself through the pages of the Bible. So, in other words, what does that mean that He revealed? God told you what He thinks of you. He has told us who He is through His Word. Like I said, Jesus believed in hell as a real place, and we must believe in hell as a real place as well. You know, when people say, go to hell, they have no idea what they're talking about. You know, I mean, it has become a curse word, something like, you know, this is it's as hot as hell, people say. You have no idea. But again, like, they at least understand that it's supposed to be a fiery place, hot, you know. But I want to see what Jesus has something to say about hell. What is it? Why is hell even created? Why do we have to have a hell? I mean, maybe you ask those questions, and my hope is that through the Word of God, we can answer those questions, you know, because why is hell? Why do we need it? Why does He have to be there? So don't go anywhere. So you are just stay connected as we go through the Word of God. Matthew 25, Jesus, one of His teachings, and it's interesting because in this teaching, He's teaching us about Judgment Day, the end of times. And scholars call that the parousia, the coming of Jesus. Eschatology, that's what they call it. The study of the end times. That's what it means. So in Matthew 24, remember Jesus taught a lot in parables. 25. Verses 31 through following. Jesus, by the way, this is Jesus Himself teaching the disciples. And He's now teaching them about when He comes back. His second coming. Judgment Day. Last week, I believe I taught about the wrath of God, and so this is almost like a sequel connecting. So, and if you have any questions at the end, maybe you disagree with what I'm be preaching about, like I love to talk to you, just hold me accountable, you know, because like I said, I want to preach what the Bible teaches, so we can discuss it at the end of the service today. So Jesus said, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these My brothers, you did it to Me. And then he will say to those on the left, depart from Me, you cursed into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus, in this teaching right here, talks about, and like, again, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him. So the coming of Jesus, His second coming, His second advent. And so Judgment Day right there. And He's already talking about two destinations. And we know in the Bible, there's heaven, but there's also hell. And you know, you can teach, you can go about examining the teachings of teachings of Jesus, and He always talks about two places. Remember when He says there was a narrow gate, and there was a wide gate. There was a narrow path, and there was a wide. So it's always two choices, two places. And so you see in the parable, in the teaching, He said that when He comes in His glory, there's going to be, all nations will be gathered, all people of the globe, all peoples of the earth will be gathered before Him, and there's going to be a separation between people, because they're all going to go either to heaven or to hell. They're either going to receive eternal life or eternal punishment. So two kinds of people in the world. And He used the analogy of a shepherd, like the shepherd, the sheep and goats all mixed up together. So He separated the sheep to the right, the goats to the left. And the sheep and the goats are giving names later on. So, two places, two kinds of people. People either are sheep or they are goats. They're either righteous or they're wicked, based on God's understanding. So the sheep, Jesus said, they're blessed. And they inherit the kingdom of heaven. Remember, I spent a lot of time talking about what it means to the kingdom of heaven. So sheep going there. Jesus told them, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So God already had that kingdom of heaven prepared way before you and I were born. The sheep will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it's interesting because when you look at the text, they are also the ones that serve God during their life on earth. They spend their lives dedicated to the service of God. How do I know that? Look at the text. Just say, come and enjoy. And then He goes on to tell him some of the things that they did. That perhaps they thought, oh, those things are, I mean, I just do it because I'm nice to people. But they didn't realize that by doing certain things, they were serving Jesus Himself. Look at what Jesus said to them. And the king said, verse 34, the king would say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick and I was in prison and you visited me. And they were like, Lord, hold on. When did we see you hungry and fed you? When did we see you thirsty and gave you a drink? When did we see you a stranger? And he just said, because you did it to these least brothers of mine, you did it to me. You see there, Jesus already saying, when you're serving people, you're serving me. When you refuse to serve people, you're not serving God. And so, because you did it to one of these, you did it to me. Now, it's interesting. Look at verse 37. The sheep are also called righteous. They're righteous. So, well, of course they are, because Jesus, the Son of Man, put him on the right side, because the righteous will go on the right, and the unrighteous will go on the left. So the sheep and the goats, righteous, wicked, two destinations. So the wicked will have a destination, the righteous will also have a destination. Now, you and I need to understand something about righteous. These people became righteous because they believe in Jesus. According to the Bible, you and I cannot become righteous because of the things we do in this life. You know, yes, you can be a very decent person, you're good, but your goodness does not impute, does not make you righteous before God. You can be the greatest person on earth, but you're still not righteous before God unless that you believe in Jesus. Because the Bible talks about that they are righteous because they embraced, they accepted Jesus. Look at what 2 Corinthians 5:21 talks about. For our sake, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Jesus, in him, we might become the righteousness of God. And the word there is the righteousness. We become the righteousness of God. In other words, that you become righteous, that you become good before God. He looks at you as innocent, holy, just because of Jesus. That we might become the righteousness of God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might become God's righteousness. In other words, that Jesus made it possible that you and I can be in a right standing before God. That's what it means that you and I are right. He looks at you. It's almost like God puts on binoculars, Jesus, and looks at you and I, and he says, wow, they're all holy, righteous. They're like spotless. They don't have any guilt in them. Now, you remove Jesus, he cannot even look at you. He cannot even look at me because we are unrighteous. You see, it doesn't matter how good you can be. Yeah, and don't get me wrong, we are to do good things, but we cannot earn heaven. We cannot earn that place on our own goodness. We need somebody else to come between us so that we can be at peace with God instead of enemies. And that's what Jesus did for us. So these people, the sheep, are called righteous because these are the ones on earth that believed in Jesus, that believed that we're not good enough. Without him, you and I will be lost, and that we need his righteousness. Paul also said that he, being rich, became poor so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. So he became sin who knew no sin so that you and I can become the righteousness of God. So the sheep on the rise are the ones that are called righteous. So already, if we are good students, you know that the ones on the left are not righteous. So we got righteous here, then they got to be unrighteous. They got to be wicked. So this one believed in Jesus, though those ones got to be the ones who didn't believe in Jesus. Sheep and goats. And Jesus made it clear that at the end of times, you know, the Son of Man will sit in his throne and all the nations will be gathered, and then he will separate people as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on the right, which are, now we know they're called righteous, and he will place the goats on his left. And this group is called righteous. These got to be unrighteous. Are we understanding so far? All right. Amen. So now they like I said, they asked, Lord, when did we see you in such condition? And the Lord said, whenever you did for these brothers of mine, you did it to me. My friend, these people, the sheep, they serve God. Their lives are dedicated to serve God on earth. And Jesus says something like that in Matthew 5. He said, let your light shine before men that they might see your good deeds and bring glory to God and the Father. So their deeds, their actions, whatever they did, now Jesus is accolades like, you did it to me. Because you did that to people, you did it to me. You see, my friends, we are reminded in the Bible that you and I, as long as we live on earth, we are to dedicate our lives to serve God. Colossians 3:23-24, Paul talks about it. He says, whatever you do, he said, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Not for human masters, since you know that, check it out. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Whatever you do, even when you're helping somebody change a tire, even when you're giving food to somebody, whatever you do, work at it because you don't know that maybe that person right there might be Jesus, and you're doing it not because, oh, I want people to notice me. No, you do it because this is the right thing to do. I'm doing it for the Lord. And Paul says, do it because this Christ that you're serving, not men. You know, because when you serve just for people, some people might not even acknowledge your service. They might not even care. And they might not even say, thank you, man. But you said, even if they don't say thank you, you're doing it for the Lord. And look what happens at the end of time, the Lord recognized, because I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. That's why I have a tough time when somebody asks me for something, because I always realize, what if that's Jesus? And I just blew that opportunity. You know, it's like, you know what? You know, what if that's Jesus? I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a cold glass of water that I needed. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I went to a place, and I feel like out of place, but you were there. Like, you made me feel comfortable. I was sick, and I was in prison, and you came... You came and visited me, and they were like, the righteous were like, Lord, hold on. When did we see you like that? When did we see you in such condition? And then he said, because you did it to my brothers, you did it to me. The Bible talks about that we are to serve one another, especially those of the family of the faith. My friends, whatever we do here, you know, it's so important, because even in heaven, you know, you and I are going to be judged based on, and you and I are going to be rewarded based on our service, based on our deeds. Jesus said it in Revelation 22:12. Behold, he says, I'm coming soon. Soon, the word soon there means it's imminent. It's going to happen. And my reward is with me, and I will give to each one, to each person, according to what he or she has done. You see, Jesus said, you did it to me. You served. So the righteous are the people always serving God, and they dedicate their lives in service to the King. And in heaven, he acknowledged that. You were serving me by serving people. Whatever you do, like Paul says, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, because it is him you are serving. So these were the sheep. He said, you're blessed. You're going to go inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're called righteous. Now check out the fate of the goats. Verse 41 through 46. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me. That's really tough right there. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So Jesus is teaching us two locations, two destinations. And this is the whole world. He separated between sheep and goats. You see, this teaching that some people have, that there's like an intermediate place somewhere, you're not going to find it in the Bible. They call that purgatory. Nowhere in the Bible is that's taught. It's either heaven, righteous, or hell. You know, it's like Jesus said, it's either one. Two choices. And, I mean, based on the choices that people make in life, they're going to end up in one of those two destinations. So the goats, Jesus said that their fate, they're cursed into the eternal fire. Here's one, a reference to hell. It's described in the Bible as an eternal fire. You have people that they've been changing the theology of hell. They say that it's no longer eternal. Can you believe that? Jesus already called it eternal fire. But they say, no, it's not. Sometimes you're going to be there, but later on you will not. I mean, Jesus says it's eternal, just like this eternal life, life forever. So this eternal fire, a fire that never ceases, an eternal punishment, that means forever and ever. That's what eternal means. So, but do you notice that it says hell's been created for whom? For Satan and his angels. See, hell was never created for people. He said, depart from me, curse, into the eternal fire, Jesus said, created for the devil and his angels. And the Bible talks about that, why that place was created for them, because they rebel against God. God created the angels, and Satan was in charge of worship before he became Satan. His name used to be Lucifer, dawn, the star of the dawn, you know, and then he became, Satan means an adversary. He wanted to oppose God. He opposed God, and that's what Satan means. And so God cast him down and prepared that place to punish them, to punish Satan one day. So hell is a place created for Satan and his angels. And who else, you know who else will go there? The unrighteous. The unrighteous and those who oppose Jesus, just like Satan opposed God. So, because there they will also be punished. So please go with me. We have to erase this idea that Satan is over there with a pitchfork, like leading people, like, hey, I'm in charge. He's not in charge. He's not going there to be punished for what he did. And his angels, his demons will go there, and also people that will be cursed Because they refused God. They opposed God. They ended up, they're not sheep, they're goats. So it's a place created for Satan, his angels. The wicked, the unrighteous people will end up in that awful place that is known as the eternal fire. You see, Jesus taught that there are two destinations, there are heaven and hell. He taught that the righteous go to heaven and the wicked, the unrighteous, go to hell. In this text, he calls the righteous sheep, he calls the unrighteous or wicked goats. Another parable, Matthew 13, he calls the righteous wheat and he calls the unrighteous weeds. Remember that? And so I just want to read a little bit of that passage in Matthew 13, verse 40 through following, because even there Jesus talked about that the destination of the unrighteous, how the weeds will be burned up. Matthew 13, 40. And this is Jesus again talking, and he's using a parable. He said, two kinds of people in the world, they're either wheat or weeds, sheep or goats, righteous or unrighteous. Righteous because we believed in Jesus. Unrighteous because we refused to believe in him. We rejected him. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 40, as the weeds are pulled up and burnt in the fire, so it will be in the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into a blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Remember what he says, the righteous prepare the kingdom of God, the unrighteous curse into the eternal fire created for Satan and his angels. The righteous will inherit the kingdom, the unrighteous will inherit as a payback punishment in hell. You see, Jesus is teaching that hell is an eternal place for Satan, his angels, and the unrighteous, the wicked, the sinful will go there. Jesus described hell as an eternal fire. Just one description. Verse 46, go with me. There is described eternal punishment. Hell is an eternal punishment. It's not you're going to be burning. It's almost like you're burning, but it's never going to stop. It's like the agony, the pain. Jesus calls it, that will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth, because that will never end. Just like life eternal will never end, that punishment will never cease. Revelation 21, verse 8, hell is described as the lake of fire. It's also known as the second death. Second death. Yes, because if you are born once, you die twice. And if you are born twice, you die once. I'm going to leave that riddle for you guys to decipher that later on. Remember, when the Bible talks about we're born again. So we're born as physical, but we're to be born again spiritually. Born twice, die once. Just physical. But if you're only born once, you're born right now, and you're not born again, you would die twice. You would die physical and you would die spiritually. And spiritually, that's what the Bible describes as hell, the second death. And the Revelation will tell you who will be found there. The false prophet, the beast, the Antichrist, all those people will go in there to be punished. Because that's what hell truly is. It's punishment. See, created for Satan and his angels, those who rebel against God will be punished there. The wicked, the unrighteous, they are cursed and condemned into that place. Why? That's what maybe a lot of people, why would God do that to people? Why would God condemn people? I mean, that's the punishment. Why would God say, in this case, he'd be sending, condemning you, paying you back for something you did. And so you end up in that place. Why? Why is that? Look at a verse that we read all the time. We have memorized it. Well, it tells us right there. John 3, 18. 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him will not perish. Perish, remember, it means that so that you will not come into God's wrath and judgment, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18 says, If you believe in the Son, you are not condemned. But if you refuse the Son, you stand condemned already. You notice the thing? What is it that makes the difference? Believing in Jesus righteous. You don't believe in him, you're condemned already. And God's wrath is on you. So he's cursed and condemned into the place. Why? Because they refuse God's offer of salvation. They refuse Jesus. And God will honor your choices. God will never make you choose something. I mean, isn't that amazing? As powerful as he is, he gave you the opportunity to choose. And he will honor your choice. He said, you know, I give you I give you my gift. Here's this gift, Jesus. He's giving you a gift, but you can say yes or no. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He placed it right there, wrapped in a manger 2,000 years ago. So that whoever believing means that you embrace it, you make that yours, will have eternal life. And you can say, no, God, thank you very much. I have something better to do. God said, okay, you made a choice. And your choice will end you up, you end up in a place called hell. So God, when you refuse God's offer of salvation, Jesus, there's no righteousness, there's no heaven for you. Because heaven is his in the first place, and only the people, how do you and I make it to heaven? By believing in Jesus. He said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you and I need to embrace the offer of salvation to make it to the sheep. And if we don't, then we become goats on the other side of the spectrum when it comes to Judgment Day. So believers in Jesus, we know that we are to live our lives serving God on earth. The unbelievers, people that don't believe in God, they don't serve God. They don't worship God. And it was obvious at the end of the day when Jesus said, hey, I was hungry, you didn't do anything for me. I was thirsty, you didn't do anything. Because look, the same scenario for the unrighteous. Depart from me, he says, into eternal fire, for I was hungry, you didn't do anything. I was stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. And they also would say, well, when did we see you? Said, because you didn't do it for those people. You did not do it for me. Your life was all about you, self-centered. You forgot about serving people in my name. I mean, isn't that interesting? Jesus said that we show God that we love him by loving one another. Love each other as I have loved you. By this, all men will know you are my disciples when you love one another, serve one another. All the one another's in the scriptures. They also, the unrighteous, said, Lord, when did we see you in such condition and did nothing to help you? Said, truly, I say to you, you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it to me. In other words, you did not serve me. I was not even in your radar, in terms of like kingdom people. And then he said, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Punishment, eternal life. Punishment. Now think about, why do we have punishment in our societies? Why do you? Because you violated something that you did something bad. That's what you punish. You get time out somewhere. You know, I mean, the kids don't get time out because they do something good, do they? They did something. They either violated mom and dad's laws, and now their phone is taken away from you because maybe you're supposed to keep this grading here. You didn't. No phone for a week. It's a punishment. It's a timeout. And God's timeout, you know, that place is for the Satan and his angels, and also for anybody who refused God. They will be punished. That's what hell is. Hell exists because evil must be punished. Hell exists because evil and sin must be punished. Randy Alcorn, he wrote a huge book about heaven. And in his book, he said this. Sin has no excuse. Since Satan sinned, he will be punished in hell. People sin, they will be punished in hell for their sins. The wicked in the Bible are those to whom Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. They are the ones who do not follow God. They don't follow God. They don't worship God. They don't serve God. So they are unrighteous. And remember in Matthew 7, 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he or she who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? You know, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do a lot of missions? And didn't we even do miracles in your name? And at the end of the day, Jesus would say to those people, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. The scariest scripture in the Bible is Matthew 7:21. People that were doing a lot of things for God, and at the end of the day, God would say, I don't even know who you are. And you know, that's the key right there. If God did not know them, it's because they never had a relationship with Jesus. Because in John 10, Jesus said, I know my sheep and they know me and they hear my voice. For Jesus to say at the end of the day, I don't even know who you are. You're a stranger to me. Goats. So depart from me. So Jesus told those, the ones on the left. You see, hell exists because evil must be punished. God has determined to punish evil in hell. You see, my friends, let that not surprise you. Every society has a justice system. Why do you think that is? Every society on earth has a justice system, and you wonder where they get it from. So, why? Because prisons or punishment for those who break the law. When somebody breaks the law, you break a traffic law, you get a ticket. That's a punishment. You have to pay for that, because if you don't pay, eventually it's going to start, you know, prisoners, you kill somebody, there's a punishment for you. You do this. Evil must be punished. The justice system is a system of accountability. You break the law, then you must pay. You must pay for what you've done. There are consequences to the choices that you and I make. Just like there, you break God's law, there are consequences. He said, live for me, do not sin, do not do wicked. God will hold everyone accountable who breaks his law. Justice must be served, and it will be at the end of the day. That's what Paul had in mind when he says in Philippians 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So hell exists because evil, sin, must be punished. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not be punished, will not be coming under his wrath. My friends, hell is a testimony of God's justice. God is sovereign and he's unchanging. He cannot just say like, well, you know what, let me just rethink it. The moment God would do that, I would not trust him anymore. You know, God is not like us, that we change our minds, we make plans, like, oh, you know, people don't understand this about God. If something bothered God in the Old Testament as a sin, it still bothers him today. If God said that that sin is an abomination, you think that he changed somewhere from millennia, and it's like, oh, you know what, let me just reconsider. No, it's still an abomination. If God says that marriage is between a man and a woman, don't change it, because always being like that. And now, because our prayer, oh, you know what, maybe let's reconsider. No. And then you wonder why, at the end of the day, you might find yourself as a goat instead of the sheep. And God will say, well, you changed the pattern that I have. You changed my laws. You even wanted to change the Bible to make it more palatable to you. Why should I let you in my heaven when you were doing all these things against violating my law? You must be punished. Hell is a testimony of God's justice. His justice. I mean, he's a just God. And he will give, it says, he will give to each one according to what we do in this life. According to what we have done. How we have served. How we have let our light shine for people. How we have preached the gospel to people. Whether they want to accept it or not. But his word is unchanging because it is his. And the God we worship is unchanging. He's a just God. And he will give eternal life to those who receive him, and punishment to those who rejected him. Jude, that short book in the Bible, only has one chapter. This is what he says. To remind us about God's justice, he said, Jude 5 through 7. Now, he said, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities which likewise indulge in sexual immorality and pursue unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. God will put an end to wickedness and evil. You see, to me, that's encouraging. You know, sometimes we go through and we look at all the injustice in our system. You know, we see even in our own justice system, there's a lot of flaws. Now, my friends, you are in America. You know, this is better than many in the world. You know, I think a lot of people in America don't understand the freedom we have here. Like, I see how they talk to, you know, they just talk so trash about the governors or the presidents. You were to do that in other places, they will kill you. But thank God you have the freedom of speech and other things. But so God will put an end to all this injustice and all this fraud and things. So to me, it's encouraging. Evil one day and suffering will stop. You know, sometimes we wonder, like, Lord, when will suffering, we don't have any more pains and we don't have any more evil in this world, and that you can just go to your house without locking your doors and you don't have to put, I mean, when would that happen? The Lord said, it will one day. And so to me, it tells me that God will put an end to evil, sin, and death, and suffering. That will cease one day. So to me, you see, that's the hope that you and I have in Christ. Because we believe in him, we become sheep, and we don't have to worry about any of those things. One day, no more pains, no more suffering. There was a band who they have a rap, and they said, one day I won't cry no more. Can't wait for the day when people won't lie no more, die no more. In the streets, bullets won't fly no more. And so he said, I can't wait for that day to come when you don't have to worry about us. But, you know, and that's what Jesus is talking about. So you see, God will put an end to wickedness. Wickedness, evil, all those things will be thrown into the lake of fire, hell. And that's what the punishment will be. Just like in justice system, we have jails. Why do we have jails? Because there are people that do bad things. And they're going to be there, you know. Now, from those jails that we have, they might come out eventually. But, you know, depending on the crime they commit, they might be there forever. Remember that? Not even with the possibility of paroles. Think about heaven, hell in such a manner. You're there and you cannot come back. Jesus told a parable. The guy's like, hey, you know, send somebody out and tell my family so they don't come to this place. He says, sorry. If you're there, you cannot come to the other side, and if you're on this side, that's your final destination. There's no in between. I mean, that's where you deserve to go. Hell is the testimony of God's justice. Evil and wickedness must be punished. You see, my friend, God is not the one sending people to hell. We send ourselves to hell based on the choices that we make. We send ourselves to hell when we refuse the salvation that God offered you and I. God gave you a free gift. God so loves you. He loves you so much. He gave you Jesus so that you believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you refuse Jesus, there's no other choice, but refusing Jesus is the same as embracing hell. Not believing in Jesus is the same as embracing hell. So there might be a lot of good people in hell. Good, that they did a lot of great things in here, but they did not do that one thing that would just change their destination. They refused to say yes to Jesus. Jesus is what makes the difference, my friends. God is giving the world a chance to choose him. And you know, a lot of times people wonder, why is it that Jesus, it's been 2,000 years, we've been preaching, he's coming soon. And you wonder why he hasn't come yet? He's giving a chance to the world. Peter said that God does not want anyone to perish. God does not want anyone to go to hell, but that all come to a knowledge of him, that all come to repentance and say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner and I don't deserve your grace. It's all by your grace that I can be saved. It's all by you, Father, that I can go in, that I can enter into your kingdom. Refusing to believe in Jesus is synonymous of embracing hell. And God will honor your choices. So you see, whatever choices we make in this life, they can have drastic consequences. God will honor your choices. He sent us the solution by which we can live with Him forever. He sent us the solution by which we can have eternal life. It's almost like we have a virus called sin. We're all being stained by it. And God created this solution. And only those who take the solution, drink it, have eternal life. People say, oh yeah, who cares about the solution? No, I'm going to do my own thing. Okay. Then at the end of the day, you end up being a goat. And ended up in a place called hell. Jesus showed us, God in His Word showed us how people can escape hell. It's an awful place to go. Yeah, even when people say, you go to hell, you don't want nobody to go there. Believe me. I mean, it's a gloomy place, and it's like, the Bible describes it like fire never ceases, the worms never dies. It's like suffering intensified. No, you don't want to wish that to your worst enemy. Nobody wants to go there. And God doesn't want you to go there, and He provided a solution so that you can escape the fire of hell. What is that solution? John 3:36, the Bible says, whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. Those who don't believe in Jesus will not see life, for the wrath of God remains in them. Believing in Jesus gets you to heaven. Refusing Jesus gets you to hell. My friends, you and I must choose. At the end of the day, I don't want you to go to heaven, and I don't want you to go to a place and stand before God and say, but the preacher never told me about it. You all know now. So choose life. Choose Jesus, because He's the one that's going to get you to heaven. It is His heaven anyways. And He decides who goes there. He said, for you to go there, you just got to believe in me. Embrace me. Serve me on earth. So, I place before you blessings and curses. And it's going to be up to me what choices I'm going to make. I hope, my friends, you watching, listening to us, that you choose Jesus. And all you have to do is recognize that you and I are sinful individuals, that we're not as good as we think we are. Say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, and He will forgive you of your sins. And recognize that He's the Lord, that He's the Messiah, that God sent, that Jesus is God's solution for my sin problem. That Jesus is the solution by whom you and I can be saved. Because no one comes to heaven except through Jesus. And He paid the penalty for you and I at the cross. His blood was shed so you and I can have life. So I'm going to go with Jesus on this one, because I want to see eternal life, and I want to stay away from the awful place called hell, where people will be punished. You know what Jesus did on the cross? He paid for the penalty, so you'll be guilty, innocent, and you don't owe God anything. So you don't have any crime. You are righteous. You don't have to worry about this place. This is for the people that do not embrace Jesus, and they're still under God's judgment. At the end of the day, God would say to people, what do you do, my son? I sent you a solution. You know the solution when the doctor said, you need to take two of these and you put them on the refrigerator somewhere and you forgot about it? I sent you a solution. What did you do with it? Choose life. Choose Jesus. Would you pray with me?